Track 2. Hello and welcome to the news, recorded on Wednesday the 22nd of March. I'm Beth.
I'm Sue.
And I'm Joyce.
And your sound engineers this week are Martin and John. Next, we would like to say a big thank you to the listeners who have kindly sent us a donation last week towards the funding of our Talking News and magazine. They are Kathleen Owen, Joan Simmons, and your donations are so important to helping us to run the service. Thank you for your support. And now, Sue will start us off with the news.
Three women were left nearly or totally blind by a vision treatment at a stem cell clinic in America, in what doctors called a dramatic illustration of how risky such clinics can be. These women had fairly functional vision prior to the procedure and were blinded by the next day, said ophthalmologist Dr. Thomas Albini of the University of Miami, whose team examined the women after their treatment at a clinic in Florida. One woman is totally blind and the others are legally blind. And it's very unlikely their vision would improve, he said, after their treatment with a method that hadn't been proven effective or tested for safety on people, he told the New England Journal of Medicine. Scientists have long studied the use of stem cells, including those taken from a patient's own body, for treating vision problems and a variety of other diseases. But they and regulators have also issued warnings about clinics that often offer unproven stem cell therapies. The new report said the three women in their 70s and 80s paid to be treated in 2015 for age-related macular degeneration. The condition damages a part of the retina needed for sharp central vision and is a leading cause of vision loss in people over 50. Each woman was injected in both eyes with a cell preparation derived from their own fat tissue. It's very alarming to us as clinicians that somebody would do this to both eyes at the same time, said Albini. He said all suffered detached retinas. The Florida cases were, however, contrasted with landmark research reported in the same issue of the journal. A study was conducted with Care and Prudence, where Japanese researchers treated a woman with the same eye disease using stem cells created from her skin to create eye tissue for transplant. 1 year after surgery, her vision had stabilised and there was no sign of lasting side effects.
A man who held a syringe infected with AIDS to the neck of taxi drivers in the Black Country has been locked up for 7 years. David Purcell left two cabbies terrified when he threatened them with the used needle and stole money last summer. The 31-year-old from Hales Owen first struck on June the 6th when he got into a taxi on Cloister Drive and held a syringe that he claimed was infected with AIDS to the driver's neck. He demanded money and fled on foot when the petrified cabbie handed cash over. On July the 14th, Purcell repeated the crime, this time threatening a driver with the infection on Shenstone Avenue. Neither victim was injured in the robberies. Purcell, from Hamilton Avenue, was caught out when police worked with the owner of the cab firm and linked the phone number to that had ordered the taxis to the mobile owned by the crook. The phone was found on Purcell when he was arrested 3 weeks later. Detective Constable Sean Lowe, who held the investigation for West Midlands Police, praised the bravery of the victims for coming forward and identifying Purcell. These serious offences understandably caused a lot of concern amongst cab drivers in the area, who feared that the offender would strike again, said Detective Con Lowe. Mobile phone cell site data was collected for both the offences, which put Purcell at the locations, and coupled with positive identification by the brave victims, we were able to get this result. I hope the news he has taken off the streets for such a long time offers reassurance both to local drivers and to the community. Purcell was charged with 2 counts of robbery and jailed at Wolverhampton Crown Court.
a callous woman who shattered the dreams of brides-to-be across the country when she pocketed the £104,000 they paid out for catering packages and other wedding services, has been locked up for 3 years. Lisa Holt from Hales Owen, who was motivated by financial gain, left a trail of over 700 victims, including many parents who paid her for special birthday parties for their children. Judge Barry Berlin, who ordered the pregnant mother of two to pay just £1 compensation because she had no assets, as he told her, it was clear she had deceived hundreds of customers of her bake-a-cake business. He told the 41-year-old, who had described herself as a one-stop wedding shop, she had shown a blasé attitude to the people who had paid her their hard-earned money. Your failure to deliver would leave customers in a state of despair, and you hardened yourself to the anxiety they suffered, said the judge, who also jailed her 42-year-old husband Ryan Holt for 9 months. He said Holt had played a lesser but significant part in her offending by moving the money sent to Bake a Cake into other accounts, adding it is clear he knew what was going on. Holt operated an online business, but over and over again customers paid for services that were not provided, said Mark Jackson, prosecuting. Holt was taking money knowing there was no chance of her providing services including chocolate fountains, sweet carts, flowers, decorations and hog roasts. Mr. Jackson said Woucher was owed nearly £46,000, having refunded the money to protect their reputation to customers who had been fleeced by Holt. She had benefited from her criminality by £104,000, while her husband had made £57,000 from the crimes, but he too was ordered to pay just £1 compensation because he had no assets. This was sustained offending over a prolonged period with more than 700 identifiable victims, said Mr. Jackson. Many of the victims had made bookings for events that were both extremely important and highly significant in their lives, weddings, children's birthdays and significant adult birthdays. The stress and anxiety caused to the victims was understandably immense. The judge said Holt, who walked into court with the aid of two sticks, had to be jailed because he had to take into account the disappointment and anguish suffered by her customers. When complaints began to pour in, said Mr. Jackson, Holt claimed there had been a burglary at the family home in Albert Road in Hales Owen and all her business records had been stolen. She also maintained she had been the victim of a campaign of intimidation and harassment from competitors and their actions had forced her to close down her business. Holt pleaded guilty to participating in a fraudulent business and defrauding customers. She also admitted fraud by false representation against the website Woucher.
Paedophile former entertainer Rolf Harris has been spotted walking outside Wolverhampton's New Cross Hospital, according to reports. The 86-year-old is a serving inmate of Stafford Prison, but is reported to have been spotted in public for the first time in 3 years last week. Dressed in blue trousers and a grey overcoat and holding a paperback book, the Australian singer and television entertainer was flanked by two prison guards as he walked into the hospital for a medical appointment. Adam Walker saw Harris strolling from his prison van and said he had been gobsmacked to spot the sex attacker, who he said stuck out like a sore thumb with his distinctive facial hair. Harris is midway through a 5-year, 9-month prison sentence after he was convicted of 12 sexual assaults between 1968 and 1986, one on an 8-year-old autograph hunter, two on girls in their early teens, and a catalogue of abuse on his daughter's friend over 16 years. He was cleared of 3 sexual assaults at a trial last month and is due to face a retrial for 3 sexual offences against teenage girls in May.
More than 65 people reported as missing across the West Midlands last year were eventually found dead, figures have revealed. A report from the National Crime Agency on missing persons data for 2015-16 has revealed the figures, with police forces in Staffordshire, West Midlands and West Mercia dealing with thousands of cases. In total, 9,835 people were recognised as missing by the forces over this time, with 2,338 classed as high risk. Tragically, 68 people were found dead during this time, with West Midlands Police accounting for 31 of that figure. One of the most shocking figures from the report shows that over the last 2 years, the number of cases of children logged as missing by West Midlands Police has risen by 74%. The reason for this large increase is being investigated, says the report. All areas have seen an increase in reports over the last 2 years, with reports of missing children going up by 74% in the West Midlands, 17% in Staffordshire and 15% in West Mercia. It was nearly the same with the number of adult reports, which increased by 11% in Staffordshire and 18% in West Mercia. However, West Midlands Police saw a 5% decrease. West Mercia Police Chief Inspector Jenny Mattinson said that the force included a major review into the way it responds to missing people last year. She said, "People who go missing are often some of the most vulnerable members of the community, with any missing person, our first priority is ensuring that they are found safe and well. We then look at any underlying reasons behind why they went missing and look to address these issues."
A Wolverhampton firm where a worker was crushed to death by a forklift truck has been fined just £1. Recycled Paper UK Limited was found guilty of failing to ensure Mohammed Yassin, who had been driving the forklift truck, had adequate training, but magistrates imposed just a nominal £1 fine because the firm has since gone into liquidation. Mr Yassin was working at the company in Neachels Lane, Wensfield, when the truck he was using to stack bales of paper overturned and landed on top of him in January 2013. Magistrates in Wolverhampton were told the 37-year-old from Birmingham had been manoeuvring the truck with nearly a tonne of paper raised at the top of its mast and was not wearing a seatbelt. They ruled the company had breached health and safety legislation in failing to ensure Mr Yassin, a father of three, had been trained in how to use the vehicle safely. Chair of the magistrates' bench, Ms. Michelle Wallace, said the starting point for the fine would have been £160,000 had the firm still been in business, and said it was with a heavy heart she could only order a token sentence. She said this is quite a difficult case involving a fatality and a firm which is now out of business and is liquidated. Therefore, our hands have been tied. However, I want to make clear what should have occurred if the company had still been practicing. Caroline Lane, an inspector at the Health and Safety Executive, told the court forklift trucks should only be moved when the mast is lowered to 150 millimetres off the ground. She added that had Mr Yassin been wearing a seatbelt, he would not have been thrown from the cab when it toppled. But she explained at no point in investigations by the HSE had it found evidence Mr Yassin had been trained. In an interview, the firm's boss, Chatterpal Jandu, said he had been given a driver's certificate for Mr Yassin but had misplaced it. The HSE will not seek to prosecute any of the company's directors in relation to his death. An HSE spokesperson said, "It was determined that there was insufficient evidence to prove beyond reasonable doubt that any individual was culpable."
Police are appealing for witnesses after burglars targeted a property in Bobbington which was being renovated following a tragic house fire that killed Dudley hairdresser Colin Dunn. The burglary took place at his Six Ashes home between 4pm on Thursday, March the 9th, and 9am on Monday, March the 13th. The 72-year-old died on November the 13th last year following a garage fire which is believed to have been started by a cigarette. Christine Dunn, who had shared the property with her husband for 32 years, has been left deeply distressed by the burglary. She had not yet been able to move in due to the renovations. Thieves stole Sony and Samsung televisions and a Seiko watch with a brown leather strap and a gold face, which had sentimental value for Mrs. Dunn as it was a gift. PC Miles Dolan of South Staffordshire local policing team said, "I have seen the impact firsthand of this tragic incident and the loss for Mrs. Dunn. To have this burglary happen now has impacted on her to such an extent that she's now reconsidering moving back in." An inquest into Mr. Dunn's death held at Cannock Coroner's Court last week was told that a subsequent fire investigation had revealed the likely cause of the fire was the careless handling of smoking materials. Mr. Dunn had been smoking in a garage around 5:30 p.m. and around an hour later noticed smoke coming into the kitchen via an extractor fan and returned to the garage to investigate, where he was overcome by fire. Despite rescue efforts, Mr. Dunn, who ran Dunn's hairdressing in Dudley Town Centre for many years before he retired in 2013, was declared dead at the scene.
Ambitious plans for the West Midlands Safari Park and the Severn Valley Railway have been showcased at a reception held at the House of Commons. The event was staged to raise awareness of the success of tourism in the Midlands, which caters for a total of 9.3 million visitors every year and creates 5,000 jobs, boosting the regional economy by £1.2 billion. Ivan Knezovic, Managing Director of the park, and chairman of the Heart of England Attractions Group, highlighted how tourism and leisure accounted for 7% of the economy of the West Midlands and was the third largest sector in terms of business numbers, with more than 20,000 companies and a workforce of more than 200,000. He said, "It is very important for us to engage with MPs so we can showcase our success and update them on what we do to benefit the region economically." Key investment plans include £20 million at the Safari Park, with bosses planning to create a multi-million pound water park, as well as a hotel, conference centre and spa. Around £10 million is due to be invested at Alton Towers, £6.5 million at Drayton Manor, between £5 million and £6 million at Iron Bridge, and £2 million at the Severn Valley Railway. The group also represents attractions such as the Birmingham Museums Trust, Dudley Zoological Gardens, Ironbridge Gorge Museum Trust, Cadbury World, the Black Country Living Museum, Alton Towers Resort, RAF Museum Cosford and Warwick Castle.
Two black countrymen have been jailed for bringing stun guns disguised as torches into the UK from Turkey. Brett Anslow of Four Winds Road, Dudley, and Michael Chand of Old Bridge Walk, Rowley Regis, were passengers on a flight from Turkey which landed at Birmingham International Airport on September the 15th, 2015. Once they had cleared immigration, they collected their luggage and headed through the customs green channel when they were detained by a customs officer. Officers searching their belongings recovered six stun guns disguised as torches, six knuckle dusters and a friction lock baton. The pair were later charged with possessing disguised firearms and sentenced at Birmingham Crown Court after pleading guilty. Anslow, aged 22, was jailed for 2.5 years and Chand, aged 49, was given 18 months behind bars. Jason Corden-Bowen, District Crown Prosecutor from West Midlands Crown Prosecution Service, said when detained at the airport, the two defendants claimed that they were unaware that bringing such prohibited items into the UK was illegal. Ignorance of the law is no defence.
A yob smashed the living room windows of a house with a crowbar while a mother and her four children were terrified inside, a court heard. Tyrone Sadler from Smethwick launched the random attack on the house in Carisbrook Road, Wensbury, at around 9:30 p.m. on January the 14th, a court was told. The 25-year-old pleaded not guilty to the charge of destroying and damaging property, along with three other similar charges that were dismissed during a one-day trial at Dudley Magistrates Court. The court heard how the victim was in her living room when Sadler started to smash each pane of glass. Giving evidence, she said, "He started with the panel nearest to the window and then moved across with a crowbar. My daughter was screaming, I was panicking and shouted to my daughter to stay upstairs, and I ran and put the latch on the front door. There was glass everywhere. He then began to smash the glass in the front door and it flew over me. We have been left feeling incredibly scared." The court heard how the victim had recognised Sadler from seeing him whilst out shopping. Sadler was found guilty of the offence and given a 12-month community order, a criminal behaviour order not to enter the Friar Park area, and a restraining order against the victim. He was also ordered to pay court costs and compensation totalling in excess of £400. Chairman of the bench, Robert Ross, said, "We found Miss Lebrey to be a credible witness in her evidence identifying you. This matter was aggravated due to children in the house at the time."
Birmingham Metropolitan College, which runs campuses in Stourbridge and Brierley Hill, has been told to make further improvements following its latest Ofsted report. The college requires improvement rating in 2015 after making a raft of redundancies to help solve the organisation's financial woes. But nearly 2 years on, following a return Ofsted inspection, the overall rating remains unchanged. Inspectors acknowledged that the college's financial position was stabilised in their report, which was published this month, but they were critical about the effectiveness of leadership and management at the college. The quality of teaching, learning and assessment, plus outcomes for learners, saying all required improvement. The college also scored poorly for personal development, behaviour and welfare, and its 16 to 19 study programme and adult learning programmes were also labelled as requiring improvement. It was, however, awarded good ratings for apprenticeships and its provision for learners with high needs. But the scathing report stated, "Governors and senior managers have not tackled successfully three of the significant areas for improvement from the previous inspection. Managers' actions to improve the performance of teachers have not had sufficient impact on improving the quality of teaching, learning and assessment." The report says that teachers do not provide a sufficient challenge to learners, and as a result, 16 to 18-year-olds do not make sufficient progress in A-level, AS-level and vocational qualifications at level 3. It adds that, despite recent changes, teachers do not develop learners' English and mathematics skills well enough on mathematics and English GCSE courses for them to make sufficient progress. The report also says learners' attendance and punctuality are too low on study programmes, and as a result, their progress is hampered. The college was, however, praised on a number of points. Inspectors said in their report, "Governors and senior managers have an ambitious strategy for the college. This is based on an accurate assessment of the college's strengths and weaknesses and has resulted in the stabilisation of the college's financial position." Credit was also given to senior managers for creating a responsive and comprehensive curriculum.
Two cash-strapped councils in the Black Country and Staffordshire have made almost £60 million from selling off council-owned land over the last 4 years. Staffordshire County's council has made £48,093,554.15 from the sale of 135 plots of land since April 2013, while Wolverhampton City Council has raked in £21,249,231.69 from 83 plots. The figures have been revealed following Freedom of Information requests. It comes as both authorities have made cuts to services following reduced funding from central government. The land has made way for houses and business developments, but council bosses say strict regulations govern how they can spend the money. The highest earning plot of land for Staffordshire County Council was Watery Lane in Codsall, which was sold off for housing for £11,790,915. Meanwhile, in Wolverhampton, the highest earning plot sold was the former playing fields and the Jenny Lee Centre, located on Lakefield Road in Wensfield, which fetched £4,214,423.82 in 2015. That also made way for housing. Council bosses in Staffordshire said money made from sales will be invested in building new schools and developing roads, while chiefs in Wolverhampton said money raised from such sales could only be used for very specific purposes. Opposition councillors in both areas raised concerns about the fact that once the land is gone, it's gone, and that some of the sites in Wolverhampton included football pitches.
A Black Country MP has told how he almost died after he was diagnosed with a rare form of blood poisoning. Mike Wood was rushed to hospital after he became delirious at home and was diagnosed with sepsis, a deadly condition that spreads when the body tries to fight infection. I was placed in a medically induced coma, and at one point my parents were told I only had a 1 in 10 chance of survival, the Dudley South Conservative MP said. It is only thanks to the incredible treatment and care I was given by the doctors and nurses at Russell's Hall Hospital that I am here today. Mr. Wood initially fell ill earlier this year when he started to suffer from a sore throat. He continued to work, but after attending the opening of the Briley Hill Enterprise Zone at the end of January, he felt so ill he was struggling to function. I really didn't know what was going on, he said. I put myself to bed and at some point got up and started to put my suit on over the top of my pyjamas. Fortunately, my wife realised something was wrong and insisted I went to hospital. Mr. Wood said it was first thought he was suffering from meningitis. The doctor at the urgent care walk-in centre realised it was sepsis, he said. I suffered a septic shock. My blood pressure collapsed and the sepsis triggered pneumonia, kidney failure and a suspected aborted heart attack. I was placed into a medically induced coma and put onto life support, on dialysis and breathing through a ventilator tube. Mr. Wood spent 3 weeks in hospital undergoing treatment. He says he is now making a good recovery. His kidneys have fully repaired themselves and there is no damage to his heart or other organs. He even managed to return to the House of Commons yesterday for the vote on the Article 50 bill, something he says was far too important to miss. Now he wants to make as many people as possible aware of the dangers of sepsis. The following symptoms can all be signs of sepsis: weakness, severe sickness, loss of appetite, fever, chills, thirst, rapid breathing, fast heart rate, low blood pressure, low urine output, and slurred speech.
The future existence of the Labour Party is at risk, Deputy Leader and Black Country MP Tom Watson has warned, amid claims that hard left supporters of Jeremy Corbyn are plotting a takeover in a secret deal with Unite Union boss Len McCluskey. Mr. Watson said it was clear that the threat was real after a recording emerged of the founder of Momentum, the grassroots activist group which helped propel Mr. Corbyn to the leadership, discussing the prospect of gaining Unite's backing. John Lansman was said to have told supporters he expected the union, together with the Communication Workers Union, CWU, to affiliate to Momentum if Mr. McCluskey wins his battle for re-election as Unite General Secretary. Warning that such a move could destroy Labour, Mr. West Bromwich East MP Mr. Watson said he would raise the matter with Mr. Corbyn. Mr. Watson said he did not know if Mr. Corbyn was aware of the momentum situation. He said they organised for him, but I'm not sure if Jeremy knows there's a secret plan. I'll be raising it with him. I'm going to talk to him about it. I don't know what he knows and doesn't know. I'm the deputy leader and I didn't know about it until I heard this recording. And I regard this as a battle for the future existence of the Labour Party. This is high stakes. What John Lansman has outlined is a plan with Len McCluskey, the leader of Unite, to take control of the Labour Party. Mr. Watson said he wanted the Labour leader to deal with Mr. Lansman. Responding to initial attacks from Mr. Watson, Mr. Lansman said, "For 20 years, the left was denied a voice. We will deny a voice to no one. We face big challenges and we need our mass membership to win again."
And with that final news item from Joyce, we'll now make way for this week's notices. So it's goodbye from Beth.
It's goodbye from Sue.
And it's goodbye from Joyce.